Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 309 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And Lori Kim is back again. Hey, Lori.
Hey. Thanks for having me again.
How are you?
Good.
Of course. I'm glad that you're good.
Are we ready to talk more?
Glad you're here.
Your favorite is coming up soon. I don't think it's this one, though. Is it?
It's definitely part three.
I don't remember. Any whoosies. This episode is sponsored by the one, the only, Puff Puff Jess. Whee!
The creator of Bingo.
The meme queen herself.
The Jess University. Thanks, Jess. We love you.
Yep.
Today, we will be discussing part two of chapter four of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the Seven Potters. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to sob your way through the details. Yes, folks, that's right. We're probably crying tonight. Okay. Before we get into that, yay, let's go to Meg's Mouse News. Weekly Prophet News. I don't know.
Can you believe? Can you believe that they're already putting out holiday shopping lists?
Yes. It's September. They're late.
Oh my God.
So today, like the Today Show, they put out a bunch of different gift guides, and they had one that was specific to Harry Potter. So I was just going to quickly go through some stuff that looks cool to me. So
please share.
First up, there is a new collaboration with Harry Potter and Kitsch body wash and silk pillows.
What?
They have like a body wash sample four-piece set with four different scents of soap. They have sherbet lemon, chocolate frog, candy floss, and marshmallow jelly bean.
Wow.
Is it supposed to transport you to the prefix bathroom?
Yeah, probably.
Take a bath with Myrtle. Smell like sherbet lemon.
Oh, my God.
There's also, these have been all over my Facebook and Instagram, the Glamnetic nails. Have you seen those?
Mm-hmm. Are they magnets or something?
Something like that. I don't really know. But I did see the one set that they have is the Marauder's Map. And when you run it underwater, it like shows the footprints.
Wow. Yeah, it's color changing.
Oh, cool. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
They're barking up the wrong tree. You got me all wrong, kids. Your girl doesn't put on nails.
But it's Harry Potter, Tiffany.
I know.
I'll just put them on my face.
There's
what? I don't know.
Katie. Oh my gosh. There's also some new stuff that's come out from ColourPop, like makeup. Okay. It's just like cute packaging. But I know that that's
it
like
is cute packaging.
That's like good quality. So if you're into that. Also, the packaging for this collab, this has also been all over my Instagram, is the She Glam Harry Potter collection. With like these,
She Glam.
I don't know, these like lip. There's this little lip gloss that comes in a cauldron. It's super
cute.
The packaging is awesome.
Is it black?
And then there's like
black lip gloss.
The little memory vials from the movie. They like have lip gloss in those. So there's like four different colors. The packaging is just really cool. And then Pura Vida has come out with fidget rings. Have you seen these?
Yeah, these have been on my feed for a long time.
Those look cool. They like spin, so you can like fidget with them. They're cute. And then, let's see, I'm just going to pick one more. No, two more.
Oh, I've seen the socks.
Alex and Ani has come out with new, like, necklaces, yep, and stuff that are really cute. They have, like, a Mischief Managed Marauder's Map one. They have an Advanced Potion Making one. Didn't I send you that? I think you did, yeah.
I sent you that with a bunch of eyeballs.
Yeah, because you're like, I want. And then, last but definitely not least, we have American Girl. Which we know we've talked about, but I am literally obsessed with this collection.
She's not lying.
Obsessed.
I am obsessed with
this. I would do crazy things for that. I would do some crazy things for that. Hogwarts Express. For the Hogwarts Express, like, play set. To display my dolls with their Harry Potter robes. It's so cute. I literally, that is like my dream come true from my childhood. American Girl Harry Potter collab. I'm not even kidding. Like, I saw that Hogwarts Express set and I cried.
Oh my god, this Harry Potter design collection doll with the invisibility cloak. He's so fabulous.
Isn't he cool? That's another one too. Yeah, it's like
his hair from Mattel. Is so awful.
No, I think it looks cool. You think it's awful? Oh my god, I love him. I think he's so cute.
Look at his little handy.
His invisibility cloak looks so cool, though.
He looks like he's wearing Crocs around the castle.
Hey, Crocs are comfortable, right?
Not anyway, in the 90s. Were they there?
If anybody needs an idea for something to get me, it's the $500 Hogwarts Express playset, okay?
Yes, please. Let's buy this for Meg. Oh, my God. The fun thing is like, she would play with it because Alana would insist, and so would Evie.
I would.
I know.
I would display it in my living room.
And then you'd have two feral children want to play with it.
That's fine. It would get played with. My American Girl dolls would feel like Woody and Buzz. They would be like, oh, children again.
Even though you're not moving, you feel like you're alive.
Oh my God. Is that from?
Toy Story.
But who says that?
Which one?
Jesse.
That can't be from one.
I think it's Jesse.
Well.
So, Meg.
Oh, yeah. Still me. That? Make sure that you follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends. Because if you like us, then they probably will, too. Subscribe.
Do your friends like American Girl dolls?
DM me. We'll chat. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, live recordings, trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. As always, we're accepting Potter stories to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Way to go.
Tiffany.
I love the inventive ways you come up with to make it just new and fresh.
Literally, spur of the moment, I covered my mouth and I thought, do that.
Recap. The Dursleys, gone. The Dursleys have left the building. Right? Harry's taking some time to be a little nostalgic, which is a little surprising because it's not a fun place. But he still manages to find some good memories. And as good as it feels to leave, it has to be pretty strange, too. A whole group shows up to be Harry's guard, and he's super happy to see them all. But as we talked about in last episode, he's like, cool, but why? Until he realized what the plan actually was, because no one's ever risked their life for Harry Potter before, right?
Never. No. All right, let's summarize tonight. Harry has to give in to the idea that six others will be pretending to be him, Everyone changes into Harry, and then they get partnered up. They head off and are immediately attacked, and we lose a very good feathered friend this evening.
I don't even wanna. Can we just stop now? Episode's over.
It's barely been 10 minutes, Katie.
Episode's over.
We all have to grow up tonight and lose our innocence. Oh, my
God.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
I know some things that are wrong with you.
Well, that's true. That's because you're my best friend. Okay. We're talking with Harry and flight crew, and he's definitely not on board with this plan, and he tries to fight it, although that's kind of comical to try and, like, fight this, because nobody in there is going to be like, okay, never mind. Like, no, you need to get out of here so we can do this safely. And he says, quote, "You can't do it if I don't cooperate. You need me to give me some hair." "Well, that plan's scuppered," said George. "Obviously, there's no chance at all of us getting a bit of your hair unless you cooperate." "Yeah, 13 of us against one bloke who's not allowed to use magic. We've got no chance," said Fred. "Funny," said Harry. "Really amusing." Scuppered is another word for thwarted. You're welcome.
I like it.
Thwarted.
Yeah, I've been scuppered.
I like scuppered. That. I'm going to use it.
It feels very piratey.
Yeah, it does.
Could you just be like, oh, yeah, man, I was scupped. Can we just shorten it?
Why? Like, I feel like that's an American thing. We want to shorten everything.
Katie has no time for full words, okay? I have
no time to say scuppered.
We've got to live
our lives. I actually feel like that's an Australian thing.
Scuppered?
No.
Shortening things. Oh, yeah, shortening things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Harry doesn't much care for this. And Moody is in no mood.
Do you get it?
Huh? Okay.
Get out.
All right. I tried. He tells Harry that if he wants to come to force, we can play that game. Everyone here is overage. They're all prepared to take this risk. And what's that risk, everybody? Possible death, capture, torture, imprisonment, etc.
It's like the side effects to like a drug commercial.
Diarrhea, constipation,
increased risk of death,
weak in the knees,
high blood pressure.
What is the Pepto Bismol commercial?
Upset stomach, nausea, diarrhea.
Wow.
Indigestion. Oh,
Pepto Bismol.
Yeah. Anytime I take the good old Pepto, I have to sing that in my
literally.
Head.
Oh, I'm like, man. Which one am I today?
Exactly. I'm like, does this cover my
take
symptom?
Take your pick.
Sing it. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it covers my symptom.
Take your pick.
Wow.
These folks are always good to have some Pepto.
Oh my God, yeah. We got a pharmacy.
I'm going to get all cheerful now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think about,
do it.
No, the scene where Harry realizes that everyone's going to turn into him, that is one of the few scenes where the movie brings it home to me a lot more than the book. In the book, I'm reading it, and it's funny the way that it's hopeless how Harry is resisting. In the movie, when I see them all turn into Harry, it really gets me. These are really, really young people, and they're all voluntarily taking on as much mortal risk to themselves as Harry has lived with forever. And it really shows how brave they're being and how frightening it is. And that's a big theme in the book, in this series. Your friends say they love you, but when it really comes down to it, would they give their lives for you? And they say that they can understand what you're going through, but can they put themselves in your skin for real? And then this time the answer is yes. And when Harry sees that it's really happening, I think that is such a huge thing. Humans, I think when people really do that for us, we have to accept that over and over again because it's just so much. It's too much to take in. And why are they doing this? It's partly because it's a war and it has to be done, but it's also partly because they're just trying to make his risk fractionally less. Like, someone's still going to die, probably, you know? But there's some chance that maybe they'll share the risk. That's really huge. And seeing these young kids go ahead and do this, yeah. I don't blame Harry for dragging his feet, even though his objections are completely illogical.
Yeah. It's like the ultimate walk a mile in my shoes. And they literally do. That is some kind of love to... it's one thing to go with him, like he was kind of alluding to, but it's a whole other thing to actually be him. Because what has Voldemort been saying? Save Harry for me. And that means that if you look like him, you're going to go straight to the big guy.
The big guy.
I did also think, I mean, I guess, I mean, in actuality, this isn't really a benefit. But I was thinking it actually would be, like, they would be more protected from death at that moment if they were Harry. You know what I mean? However, end game of them getting captured and then him realizing that it's not Harry, they would just get murdered. But, like, so, yeah, I guess it's really not safe at all. So forget that.
If you're polyjuiced and you die, do you turn back into yourself?
I would hope so.
I would think after... It's kind of morbid.
Go for it.
You know, like when someone passes away,
are
like...
Are you going to say
everything
what
comes out of them. So, like...
Are you talking about poo? When are we not?
Like... After that's everything true. Is passed out of them, I'd assume, then. Because doesn't that happen kind of fast?
I don't know.
I don't actually know.
I would assume that, like, the magical effects couldn't be magical if the person's not alive.
Why not?
For it to connect with.
You don't think that you could, like, hide a dead body or something?
Ugh. I don't know. What, with Polyjuice?
Well, just, I mean, if you're talking the magical properties of it, why does
it
have to be Polyjuice?
Or does it just wait till the Polyjuice runs out? Polyjuice specific.
Oh, man.
What? Judy's mother got buried looking like her son, so it does stay for a little bit.
So however much Polyjuice you take, it just probably runs the course.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Husband for the win.
Again.
Yo, go ahead.
Oh, I just said, again, he was right. For the win, Vinny, again. Never mind. It's not even funny anymore, so just
okay. Moving on.
God, okay.
So, back to Moody speaking, saying that, like, everyone is prepared to take this risk, right? Little eyeball emoji moment. Mundungus. No, no, no. Quote, Mundungus shrugged and grimaced. The magical eye swerved sideways to glare at him out of the side of Moody's head. Mundungus is here against his will, folks. Yes, it's partially his plan. Not really. Portrait Dumbledore and Snape's plan. He wants no part in this.
I love how realistic that is. In war, this is another one of those, wow, this really feels grown up things. You can't force it. You can't force true belief. And when you're making a plan like this, there's always a chance of a weak link or people finding out in the middle they thought they could do it, but they can't. And you just, you just have to plan for that. You can't waste too much energy trying to figure out who it's going to be.
I mean, you can say, oh, if I was in this situation, I would do blah, 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 blah. Well, until you're thrust
and
into
then you
it,
find out.
You have no idea. Yes. You have no idea what you would do, especially in life or death situations. Katie, you had your hand up.
No, there was just talks in the Discord about whether or not Barty Crouch's mother did die looking like herself or not. And I was just following it. And then I put my hand down because I think we decided she did.
Yeah.
It's in the book.
It says that she was careful to take the potion right up until the end, which would imply that she would look like him as long as possible. But Dementors are blind.
Okay,
so I think
who does the burying?
Dementors,
so,
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, to Dementors, like a body's a body, you know?
Right.
Well, okay. So time is wearing on, right? There's time again. We talked about that a couple of episodes ago and how time is mentioned so much in this last book. I mean, throughout the series, but like Harry's time is related to destroying the Horcruxes, aka he's running down his own life as he takes Horcruxes away.
Without knowing Harry, it.
Well, yeah. And then once he does know it, his heart is trying to beat out of his chest and be like, just kidding. No, we want to live. I love that. I mean, this is skipping obviously way ahead, but the way that the author describes like how beautiful our bodies are.
Yeah.
You know, how he never appreciated his body and what it could do for him now until he knew that it was going to pass and be no more. Like, oh. We'll save that for another day, years from now. Harry's like, you're mad. This is crazy. There's no need to do this. And Mad-Eye, straight up, is having no more, right? Time's a-wastin'. No need, snarled Moody. With you-know-who out there and half the ministry on his side, Potter, if we're lucky, he'll have swallowed the fake bait and he'll be planning to ambush you on the 30th. But he'd be mad not to have a Death Eater or two keeping an eye out. That's what I would do. They might not be able to get at you or this house while your mother's charm hold, but it's about to break, and they know the rough position of the place. Our only chance is to use decoys. Even you-know-who can't split himself into seven!
But he can split himself into eight, right?
Technically. But I love this. This is not Voldemort's first war, folks. Right? He knows to have patrols out. He's not foolish. But I do love the moment between Harry and Hermione being like, wait a minute. It's like when the people in the movie say the name of the movie. Oh, there it is, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's always weird when that happens.
Because this is a Toy Story. No, I'm just kidding. That never happens. Ding, 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 right? Soul into seven. I love the ope look between Harry and Hermione, though. It's very Midwestern. hairs, please, right? Let's offer up. Boyfriend grabs hair and pulls it out. And friends, this is Petunia's kitchen. You would be foolish not to think that there are not a pair of kitchen scissors in here. Why do you want to hurt yourself, sir?
I agree.
You already hit your head. Just cut some hairs. Why do you do this?
Does it need to have the follicle?
No.
Catherine,
that's a real question.
No.
I don't think so.
No, because
your DNA is in all of your hair, not your follicle.
That's a great question.
You're done.
Don't tell me what I know, Travis.
But hello, placed in the flask. This is a big old throwback and shout out to Polyjuice Potion from Chamber of Secrets, as well as Goblet when Moody's not really Moody. And that flask plays a very nice role.
Judy.
In hiding Barty Crouch Jr. Yes.
I'm glad Judy.
Shout out
it
to
back.
Judy.
Junior.
Judy's dead, so.
Yeah. Real dead.
Soulless. I don't know if they're dead. Any whoosies. The mud-like liquid began to froth and smoke once Harry's hairs were in there, and it turned a clear, bright gold color. I thought that this was very interesting, given we have Golden Trio, Felix Felicis' gold.
Of course Harry Potter's Polyjuice Potion would be freaking gold.
Gold. He's the golden child, right?
Right.
Wasn't the color Crabbe or Goyle's like a gross, like, booger green or something?
Yeah.
I think it's bogeys. Yes.
Yeah, they were gross.
Oh, bogeys. One was puce, I believe.
Well, yeah, and then.
Oh, great. Sounds like puke.
Well, it was crabs that was a murky brown.
Yeah.
Murky brown. Mm. Ooh, and Crab dies because he's bad. So.
He bad.
That murky word gets me. All right. But what does gold mean, Tiffany? Well, I'm glad you asked. The color gold represents success, luxury. It evokes feelings of grandeur and sophistication. Yeah, so there you go. Harry Potter. Grandeur.
So for me, the gold here, that's an alchemical reference, right? When you manage to take your basic self, lead or the human soul, and transmute it into gold or into immortality. That alchemy is a purification. And Dumbledore has been telling us the whole time, this is another way of saying love, human connection, because whenever there's a connection between people in this series, then the connection is gold. Growth and remorse and empathy and the way that these emotions change a person. So he's always said Harry has love in abundance, starting from how his parents nurtured him and then reinforced by the memory of his mother's sacrifice. And that's what we're seeing here in Harry's essence. And at the end of this chapter, this is going to turn out to be significant. Ooh.
And with my turn still. All right. Hermione makes a very fun offhand comment. She says, Harry's Polyjuice potion looks tastier than crab or Goyle's.
She's just Ron telling everyone that they illegally brewed Polyjuice potion.
I don't think she cares at this point.
Truly.
She's not going back for the time being. But I just think that's just really funny because all Ron does is like, raise his eyebrows, and she knows what he's thinking, and she's like, oh, you know what I mean, Goyle's potion looked like bogeys.
What a legacy.
So funny. That little exchange makes me chuckle.
Me too. I enjoy it. So fake Potters are to line up, and they notice that they're one short. Who could be missing?
Wonder who.
Maybe it's the guy who doesn't want to be there. And honestly, like, if we get down to it, you shouldn't be forcing people into stuff. That's true. As garbagey as I think that he is for previous actions, he shouldn't be forced to do this.
Yeah, this is a big risk.
I am unsure as to, there are other people, I'm sure. I feel like if you went through the Order of the Phoenix and said, we need you to help Harry Potter, there would have been more hands. Is it because he knew of the plan? They wanted to keep him close because it was his idea of what they thought was his, like, idea, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. It just feels weird. He could have been at one of the safe houses. Katie.
You want to know what just went through my head? Let's walk through the trail of dumb that just happened in my brain, okay?
Okay,
sitting,
I love it.
Sitting here going, Sirius could have done it. Oh. I know he's supposed to be, like, at home because he's, like, at large. But, like, he'd be under disguise, so it'd be fine, right? And then I was like,
yeah, totally.
He did. Never mind.
Yeah. 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 No, he would have done it.
Mm-hmm. Of course he would have.
Can you come as a ghost?
Right? Can ghost take Polyjuice potion?
Truly, though, like, somebody else could have done this. But like I said, maybe they wanted to keep him close because he is a little bit of a trickster and they don't trust him. I mean, it's not like they don't have reasons not to trust him. But like I said, nobody should be forced into anything.
Yeah, totally.
So Hagrid decides that he's going to, you know, help out. So he lifts Mundungus up by the scruff of the neck like a puppy or a kitty cat and sets him beside Fleur. And she's like, I don't think so. So she moves to stand between Fred and George. And Mundungus tries to protest. So he says, I told you I'd sooner be a protector, said Mundungus. Shut it, growled Moody. As I've already told you, you spineless worm, any Death Eater we run into will be aiming to capture Potter, not kill him. Dumbledore always said you know who would want to finish Potter in person. It'll be the protectors who have got the most to worry about. The Death Eaters will want to kill them. So, that's true, but not if Voldybat's flying through the sky himself, trying to cast some green lights at people.
Voldybat?
He's there. He's like, hey, Snape told me you'd be here tonight. Thought I'd come crash your party. Mundungus isn't really buying this, though. And Moody's moving on. He's got some egg cup sized glasses from inside his cloak. And each person gets a good old shot of polyjuice. And I thought that this was funny to think about. If Hagrid has bucket sized mugs, what does this look like in his hand? And is it enough?
Oh, just my kidding. God.
He's not taking it. He's not taking it because it doesn't work on him. But like, imagine this in his little hand. It'd be like a doll cup, like Barbie.
Like American Girl.
Yeah.
I just wish I could have seen an egg cup size cup in his hand. Compare it to the bucket of mugs or whatever.
Bucket of mugs.
Bucket of mugs. I think I'm done.
All right. So, everybody takes the potion, and they all gasp and grimace as the potion hits their throats. And I just like the description of this.
Why is it spicy? At once,
their features began to bubble and distort like hot wax. And every time I read that line, I just think that they did such a good job in Chamber of Secrets of that transformation of Harry into Goyle. And I think of how his like face was bubbly and like it really was like, especially mm-hmm. for like the times.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. Yeah. CGI.
Agreed.
So anyway, we get Fred and George and their quirky little... Wow, we're identical, which is funny.
Yeah.
I love them.
And Bill going, ah, Bill, don't look at me. I'm idiots. And Moody has clothes for everybody to change into because obviously they are all Harry-sized now instead of how they were. And this is a quote from the book. Harry said, well, he's thinking in his head. He felt like asking them to show a little more respect for his privacy as they all began stripping off with impunity, clearly much more at ease with displaying his body than they would have been with their own. And this makes me laugh, how Ron says, I knew Ginny was lying about that tattoo. And I have a question for you guys.
Oh, God.
What base did Harry and Ginny get to?
Oh, my God.
Children listening.
It's a, okay, well,
heavens,
they don't
to
have to
Betsy.
Know what that means. That's why I phrased it the way I did.
Well, don't Google it, kids. God,
I'm gonna go second.
Yeah, probably second. All right, anyway,
base zero. They stayed in the dugout.
So then we learn the pairings for the evening. So we have Moody with Mundungus by broom. And Mundungus goes, why am I with you? And Moody says, because you're the one that needs watching. And then Arthur and Fred are together. And of course, there's the spat of, no, I'm George. No, I'm Fred. Then George is with Remus. Fleur is with Bill on Thestral, and Hermione is with Kingsley, also on Thestral. I think Arthur, Fred, Remus, George are on brooms too. And then Ron and Tonks on brooms.
I love that Hermione gets Kingsley on a Thestral. He's so warm, and he's protective, and for once, she's getting that instead of people in the story assuming that she's just so competent that nobody needs to protect her and that she can actually fend for others too. And I love those two characters together because sometimes I feel like Hermione's scope of her mind, it's so wide ranging she feels too big for Hogwarts sometimes to me. She's definitely too big for Harry and Ron in her mind.
Good.
And
for sure.
Kingsley, his scope is also really wide ranging because he's so high up as a muggle and as a wizard. And it feels proportional to me, to Hermione. And I really like knowing that this night that's so terrifying, she got to safety at Kingsley's home. That really gives me a piece of rest, a restful feeling.
Mm-hmm.
There's also this other thing about Hermione that is so amazing. When she's looking at her new Harry body, she says, "Harry, your eyesight really is awful," said Hermione as she put on glasses. And there is this amazing Twitter thread from a Twitter user named QPHEEVR, QPHEEVR. And it's about how this line contradicts the transphobia that we've been hearing from the author. Because, okay, so she says, your eyesight really is awful, said Hermione, as she put on glasses. She means Hermione, whose body is identical to Harry's at that moment. And we know that it's completely identical to Harry's because even her eyesight has changed. But she is still Hermione. That's still her identity. She's still a girl. Because gender is not defined by your reproductive organs.
Yep. Louder for the people on the back.
And yeah, I mean, I have been horrified by the demise of Twitter. So I'm going to have to screenshot and save that Twitter thread before I say goodbye to it forever. Yeah. Because that is incredible. And I think...
You mean X?
Oh, whatever. X. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty... it's pretty crazy that she, the author, can obviously wrap her head around that here, but not in real world examples. So.
It's so loaded. It is so loaded. I don't know. Sometimes when we're reading this book, I don't know how she wrote it.
Yeah.
I know.
And it's disappointing.
Yeah.
Any hoosies? Where are we?
I'm done with my part.
Dang.
Yeah, it was a little short. Sorry. It's okay, though. We still have a whole nother third of the chapter to talk about.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Side note, I bet Kingsley's place is really cool.
Yeah, I know. Gonna say that.
I bet it's cozy.
I think it would be so cool to like get descriptions of all of the safe houses.
Yeah.
Like what kind of books does Kingsley have on his bookshelves? You know what I mean?
You know, Auntie Ariel has knickknacks up the wazoo.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yes. Yeah. I also wanted to point out, I really liked that Blake in the chat said two future ministers of magic riding together. I thought that was really cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That gave me like warm, cozy feels.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh yeah. Kingsley cooks for sure. I bet he has like a cute little chef hat and an apron and he looks really cute in oven mitts and he like cooks some really good stuff. Anyway, canon stuff. Okay. Apparently Ron doesn't look quite as pleased as Hermione to have been paired up with Tonks. She's an Auror,
which is crazy.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. She was trained by Moody. Get out of here.
Get out of town, Ron.
Ron can be a little sexist.
He can. I do believe that in time... he will continue to grow as we've seen him do throughout the series. So
I think Ron only would have been happy if he had been paired with like Well, I guess truly anyone but Tonks. Lame. He would have been okay with Bill, Arthur. It's definitely a misogyny thing.
Super lame. So Hagrid's looking a little anxious and he says, "You're with me, Harry. Is that all right?" They're taking the motorbike. Harry would be in the sidecar. And Harry's not entirely truthful when he's like, "That's great." I wonder why. Is this just because, like, Hagrid's not, like, trained in magic? But, like, dude, Hagrid, I mean, any of these people would, but Hagrid, first and foremost, would absolutely lie his life down for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, if you go by what Moody was saying, Moody knows that he would be target number one. He's the most experienced and theoretically strongest. And Harry not being with him would it put a target on whoever was riding with Moody's back. So by Harry being with Hagrid, Hagrid, in the eyes of so many in the wizarding world, is less than, and not as good as or as powerful magically. It would make sense for Harry to ride with him because he would be kind of like not on Voldemort's radar first.
I also like what Mia said. I don't think it's necessarily that he is not happy to be with Hagrid. It's that he really doesn't want to be in the sidecar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't blame him there.
In a little bit, he does like go on about being embarrassed about that. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see that.
Well, it puts him not so much in control.
Yeah.
And Harry doesn't like to not be.
I mean, obviously he'd be more comfortable on a broom, but that is obvious, you know, right. So.
Right.
Yeah. Moody says that too. He's like, they're going to expect to see someone right at home on a broom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So actually that's what I was just about to say. And also Snape has had plenty of time to tell the Death Eaters anything he wanted to about Harry to clue them in. So just interesting that it's noted that there's 3 minutes until they leave. Like, it's just a very specific number. And 3 is a big number in this series.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry gets his rucksack. I love that word. I think we should call everything a rucksack. Firebolt and Hedwig. And joins everyone in the back garden. And he goes, "Is this it? Is this it? Is this Sirius's bike?" "The very same," said Hagrid, beaming down at Harry. "And the last time you were on it, Harry, I could fit you in one hand." That's adorable. And I also like the addition they did in the movie, too, where he's like, "It seems fitting because I brought you here and now I'm taking you away."
I do like that line.
So even though they changed it, like, it was still a good moment and it still captured what needed to be said.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's leaving just as he arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. And you know what I thought about? We never really talked about number 4. Privet Drive. If we did, I don't remember. So listeners will probably remember better than I do, because sometimes I forget what we talk about.
All the time.
So when I looked up the meaning of number 4, it means support and stability, which kind of is like, sorry, not Privet Drive. But I related that to a mother's sacrifice. The support and stability of his mother's sacrifice, keeping him safe there.
All right. Yeah, Vinny said in astrology, 4 in astrology is the house that represents foundations, family, and home.
Very good.
Applause, everyone.
Well done, husband. Well done.
So as we were saying, Harry feels a little humiliated as he gets in the sidecar. He's feet below everyone else. And on top of that, Ron has to give him a little smirk because he's sitting there like a child in a bumper car.
I appreciate the funny bones that are being tossed to us in such a serious situation by the author. They're woven throughout this. Like, we get a bunch actually in this, at the beginning of this chapter. So they don't go unappreciated because you can see it. You can see the looking down and the,
right. You know? Right.
I feel it.
And Harry has to see himself smirk at himself.
Right. Mm.
But he knows it's Ron. And, like, you know, even though you're in someone else's body, you still have your own mannerisms.
Yeah.
So I bet it
shines. And you know
through
that face, and you're like, you jerk. Right.
Right. So Harry stuffs his rucksack and his firebolt at his feet, and he rams Hedwig's cage between his knees. Oh, so comfy. This is first class service. So Hagrid tells him that Mr. Weasley did some modifications on the bike. It's got a few tricks up its handlebars now, which I appreciate that dad humor very much. And he points out the part that was his idea, and it's a purple button near the speedometer. So basically, if you push it, Swish and Flick shows up and saves the day.
True. That's true. That's canon.
And Mr. Weasley's like, listen, I'm not sure if that was really advisable. So, like, be really careful. That's only to use in emergencies. Tonks tells Ron to hold on tight, and he gives Remus a little bit of a guilty look when he puts his hands on her waist. Which, like, jeez. Dude, come on. We don't need to be that fragile. We're all good. They all leave at the same time. Harry's legs are already sore and numb, and he almost forgot to take a last look at Privet Drive. And by the time he remembered, though, they were too far up and he couldn't even tell which was which. Let's get sad. Cool. Let's talk about really sad things.
I'm really sorry I had to do that to you.
No, you're not. You've been laughing at me the whole time.
Theoretically, I could have cut this even shorter.
That's okay.
And given it to myself.
I'm sure.
But I chose not to.
I'm sure.
I mean, it is a good ending for the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So out of nowhere, out of nothing, they're surrounded. Harry says that there, or thinks that there's at least 30 hooded figures, or as Hermione would say, figures, all around, and the order members are just like, they're oblivious. Which, as we talked about, I feel like they should have been a little bit more prepared, but I don't know. They're screaming.
They really thought they had a one up on him.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Constant vigilance went out the door.
Mm-hmm. There's screams, there's green light everywhere. Hagrid yelled and, like, torques the bike so it rolls over, kind of like Meg did to me on a jet ski. And Harry gets the twisties. He doesn't know where he is or he's lost his footing. There's street lights above him. There's yells. He's clinging to the sidecar for dear life. And his stuff is starting to slip from where he's got it jammed. And so he's like, no, Hedwig. And I'm wondering, is that because her cage starts slipping? Is this what gives him away?
Yeah.
Okay. And because in the movie, she was out of her cage, right? And right. She tried to protect
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And that's what gave him yeah. away. But I know, as we talked about, she never got that last flight that she wanted. Not going to cry.
I don't know that this necessarily gives him away. I think what gave him away was him casting Expelliarmus.
Mm. Oh, that's mm-hmm. right.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Okay. Thank
Sorry.
You.
Thanks for correcting me.
No problem.
His fire bolt fell. I forgot about that. Like,
I was just going to say that.
That's a huge loss.
Gone.
That is a huge loss.
Do they recover it?
No.
No.
No? No. Okay. I couldn't remember because obviously I know they go looking for Moody's body.
I mean, I don't think he really necessarily like thinks about it that we see on page, but like that's a memory from Sirius that is
yes.
gone.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's a huge loss for him.
Yeah. So his firebolt falls, but he manages to grab his bag and the top of Hedwig's cage as the bike swings right side up again. Right. All right. I'm going to try and read this without crying. Okay. We're going to blast through this. A second's relief and then another burst of green life. Oh my God. Not life. Death. Green death.
Green death.
And then another burst of green light. The owl screeched and fell to the floor of the cage. No, no. The motorbike zoomed forward. Harry glimpsed hooded Death Eaters scattering as Hagrid blasted through their circle. And the way this is written, he says, Hedwig, Hedwig. And the second one is italicized. And in my head, I can like not audiobook or anything. Like I can just like feel the pain that he can't
like
even.
Voice cracking probably like.
Yeah, just like devastated and like. Yeah. He can't even take it in right now because so much is going on and he's worried about everyone else. Like this just happened. We just flew up here and we're getting attacked. Like, that's way too much for anyone to absorb in like this nanosecond. Truly.
Right. Like truly how much time has passed. Like that just happened so fast.
Yeah. So, but the owl lay motionless and pathetic as a toy on the floor of her cage. He could not take it in, and his terror for the others was paramount. So he looks over his shoulder. He sees there's just a mass of people, still green light everywhere. He sees two pairs of people on brooms zoom off, but he can't tell who they are. And that's where we have to stop. And it's really sad. And I miss Hedwig, and it sucks. It sucks.
The first time reading this was pretty bad. I remember thinking, what? Because just like Harry, as readers, we're like, hold on, how did we go from joking around to Ron smirking as Harry at Harry to the symbolic death of Harry's innocence? Hedwig is described as pathetic as a toy. When Voldemort thinks about James's death, he was described as like a marionette whose strings have been cut. As he falls, and I wanted to point out earlier, everybody gets a cage with a stuffed owl inside, and that's how Harry's known with Hedwig, right? That's how close they are together. If that person doesn't have that snowy owl, you know, is it really Harry? That's how tied together they were. There's this first birthday present ever, right?
Yeah.
And Harry's fear is now real. It's not oftentimes that he gets afraid. He goes into like hero mode. Hopped up on adrenaline. You know, he's not full his terror. He's not afraid. It's described as terror. It's paramount. And it's terror for the others. So he's still in like that hero mode. And he needs to save them, right? He has zero control over this bike.
Yeah.
He's sitting in a sidecar like a child. He is absolutely kind of, in his mind, helpless. Go ahead.
I think that that was done on purpose. Looking back to on that now. Putting him in a position to not have control over where he was going, because he would have put himself in danger and gone back.
Yeah.
But Hagrid knows, we have to keep going. I know you want to, but we have to keep going.
And the thing that gets me is later in this chapter, they automatically think, well, Hagrid's the person who, you know, was getting a dragon egg for releasing information to you know, Voldemort or whatever. So they were thinking that he was the untrustworthy one. But Hagrid is so loyal that he listens to the orders that were given to him. My orders are to get you to this safe house, and that's it.
Yep.
I'm not turning around. Harry screams at him multiple times in our next episode. Just screams and screams and screams at him to turn around. We have to save the others. Hagrid either doesn't answer him and keeps flying, or says, no, these are my orders. I have to get you there.
Loyal.
Can you imagine the bedlam that would have exploded if they would have turned around?
Yeah. More people would have died.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Phil agrees.
Phil agrees.
Absolutely. Yeah, Phil. Oh, there's so much in this chapter.
I hate it.
Which is why we're not done.
You know what? They should have let... He should have let Hedwig out, like, days ago. Let her go. She can go fly wherever. Then
you know what?
Back.
She probably would have been killed then, too, though.
Tiffany, don't crush my positive little
hopes. I'm sorry. Or at least, like, taken.
Yeah.
They know. You don't see snowy owls flying around Bristol. No, I don't know where they are. Surrey.
Surrey.
Right.
Drove that car to Surrey and back last night.
Did you really?
How'd it go? Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
I only deal on Summit Cola. Yeah.
Two Cokes. Summit Cola is the second, even though I kind of like it more than Coke. It's more bubbly.
I agree. Watch, it's literally just Coke. All
right. Right.
Let's do some lightning bolt questions.
We got caught by Aldi.
Vinny asked, does Voldemort fly with his arms spread out like a flying squirrel or to the front like Superman?
Wait, what?
God, that's such a good question.
Oh, Voldemort?
I imagine it's like out at the sides. Just like, who? Iron Man flies like that.
Iron Man.
Yeah, Iron Man flight.
I'm going to say flying squirrel because I picture like the black like smoke acts like wings that like he can use as like sails to go faster.
As Janine put in the chat, sugar glider. She shared a gift.
Sugar glider.
Yeah. It's basically a flying squirrel.
Yes.
I guess Iron Man puts his arms back.
Iron Man puts his arms down.
Because they got the...
If he's going straight, like up. But he can go forward as well. But his arms stay like at his side usually.
Philly, you're typing.
Katie K asks, which protector would you have wanted to be paired with?
I don't want to do this mission, so...
No, so let's be honest, I would not have done this, but if we had to and we had to pick a protector.
Kingsley.
Yeah, Kingsley was my first thought. I wouldn't mind talking.
He just makes me feel safe.
Yeah.
I feel like Moody would be Moody, and I don't want to be around that because I'm already scared. So Kingsley would make me feel as calm as I could feel.
I think Mr. Weasley would do a good job of making me feel safe too.
Yeah.
Did you say Kingsley too, Kate?
I said Kingsley or Tonks.
Lori, do you have a different answer or no?
I'm so caught up in Hermione going with Kingsley. That's what I would do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good pairing.
You're right. I didn't say Remus.
I thought about Remus, but like...
I would do it so we could snuggle.
I bet he smells really good.
For sure.
Yeah. He's hot. Hot.
Do you think he has sunshine fur when he's transformed?
Probably.
Sunshine fur
smells so good.
Silence.
Lofty asks, why do we think Harry didn't just let Hedwig fly to Ron's? Do you think the order stopped him in case the Death Eaters tracked her? I mean, they could track any of them, so I don't know if that would have been an issue per se. I don't know.
I think she, like Tiff said, she would have gotten caught.
She also was, like, kind of depressed.
Oh.
So, like, maybe he was just worried and wanted her to be with him.
Well, they're being watched really heavily. Just like Harry, having 6 decoy Hedwigs increased her chance of surviving. But if they had released her, the Death Eaters who were around Privet Drive would have found her and killed her right away.
I mean, they were allowed to kill her. The only person they weren't allowed to kill was Harry.
Yeah.
What are these Death Eaters doing? They've got strict orders from Voldemort not to kill Harry, and they're just throwing this green light around. They hit Hedwig in her cage, who is on Harry's lap.
I mean...
Well, they didn't think that that would be... Maybe they're just bad at aiming. I don't know. Maybe they were aiming for Hagrid.
Why can't they be more like stormtroopers and never hit?
Yeah, never hit anybody.
Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew. All right.
Also, like you're saying, like everybody, like the ministry, like all of these people are undesirables.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are being tracked.
Yep.
All their folders are in Umbridge's office.
So it was really dangerous for all of them to be out.
Anybody
in the open.
Anybody who's known to be like that Harry has spent time with is automatically an undesirable.
Yeah. Fan story time?
Sure. This is a very recent one.
Sweet.
From this year.
What?
From this month.
What?
Shut your face.
I wanted to change it up. So this comes from Chelsea. Hello, Chelsea. Tiff, Megan, and Katie. I'm so excited to write this. I've been listening since August of 2020 and have been waiting patiently to write my fan story. My name is Chelsea. I'm a proud Ravenclaw. And my wand is Beechwood with unicorn core, 13 1/4 inches, unbending flexibility. My Patronus is a hedgehog.
I was going to say, I'll caw-caw for the Ravenclaws that are
caw-caw.
Not.
Caw-caw.
cook-off.
My first memory of Harry Potter goes back to elementary school, when my dad would take my sister and I to the library all the time. I remember we would look at the DVDs, and it felt like every year there was a new Harry Potter movie to see. We definitely rewatched them a lot, but my dad made it feel special every time. I don't remember if I even knew there were books, which surprises me as I was an avid reader. In middle school, my friends were huge fans of the series. I remember they were always talking about it, and we had a joke where one of their cats was the chosen one. I saw The Half-Blood Prince in theaters with my grandma, sister, and cousins around this time, too. I vividly only remember the scene with Harry and Dumbledore finding the Horcrux and the Inferi. It scared me a little. My family moved to Arkansas from Michigan the summer before I started high school, and I didn't pick the books up until my junior year when I bought the box set from Barnes & Noble. It took me a year to complete the series and months to get through The Goblet of Fire. I was not a fan. After finally reading the series, I was a huge Potterhead. I went to Universal in Orlando in 2015 with my other grandparents and my sister, and we went to Diagon Alley. I got Neville's wand on this trip. He is my favorite. I also went to Universal in LA with my ex's family in 2018. I began physical therapy school in August of 2020. My school had learning communities, and they were all named after the Hogwarts houses.
So fun.
So the summer before my first reread of the series, I had 8 weeks to read the books before I started grad school. I did it. And then I found you guys. Woo! I started the pod from the very beginning. I finally caught up around 2022. I was devastated. Oh. I had to wait every week. I was so used to hearing you guys all the time. I graduated from PT school in May of 2023, passed my boards in July of 2023, and I'm now 3 weeks into my first adult job as a pediatric physical therapist. Aw, I hope your knee is healing well, Katie. Thanks. I really appreciate that. I started rereading the series when I passed my boards, and I'm just about to start the final book, all caught up with you guys. I know you guys don't know me, I'm just a pod listener, but you all have been with me through grad school, and I feel like I know you guys so well. Between Harry Potter, the closeness of my childhood in Michigan to your Ohio, working with children like Tiff, and so much more, I feel like we have a lot in common. I have loved listening to the pod and have waited to be done with grad school to finally send in my Potter story. Love you, Chelsea.
Love you.
Love you.
Congrats on graduating.
Truly.
And having your first adult job.
Let me tell Grown-ups. You, physical therapists deserve a lot of respect.
They really do.
A lot
They've
of respect.
They've helped Katie so much.
So much. And I love your story. I think it's really funny that you were like avidly a reader and yet didn't know about the books.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's the difference. I've never heard that take before.
Yeah.
Saw the movies, didn't know there were books. Usually that's me with like a lot of other stuff. But not Potter. It's funny. Good luck on your new job. You got this.
Woo-woo! Chelsea. All right. Tell me a joke.
All right. What do you call Tom Riddle when he's doing laundry?
I don't know.
Lord Voldemort.
Can you imagine him trying to match socks?
No. He doesn't wear socks.
Yeah,
get out of
have
here.
Have you seen his feet?
Okay. Well, all right. All right.
Can you imagine him trying to fold a fitted sheet?
I don't do that.
You know what?
I try and then I ball it up and cry.
Yeah, I'm so good at it.
I don't think it's even possible with magic. Like, it just doesn't happen.
You can do it.
My mom is really good at it, too. My moms are like, flat. I'm like, you're a witch.
You're a witch.
Hey, no, chew my cords, Fillmore.
Ooh, you got full named.
All right. Well, if you would like to follow us more on social media, you can find Katie and myself on Instagram and TikTok at the Petrus Family. And Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at TiffSwish_Flick. And Lori, would you like to share your website again?
I'm at LoriKim.com, LoriKim. And also, I just joined Blue Sky, also as Lori Kim.
Blue Sky.
What's Blue Sky? Blue Sky is like Twitter that's not horrible. Or at least that's what people are hoping.
Nice. So better than Threads, eh?
Well, less. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Interesting. All right. I've not done anything since an hour ago.
The only thing I thought of to share is that I also re-picked up Dreamlight Valley, Disney Dreamlight Valley on Xbox, and I unlocked Belle and Beast. So I've been working on their storylines, and it's been very fun. I've actually also started like designing my island, because for a long time I was just all about getting everybody up to level 10 and doing all the tasks. But now I've decided to start to actually design my island like I did on Animal Crossing, and it's been very relaxing.
Nice. I picked up Tears of the Kingdom for like 2 seconds and didn't really get much done, because that's just my life right now.
Yeah. So, one day.
Audiobooks are life.
Do I have anything new from an hour ago?
I don't know. What have you done? You were listening to Yours Truly with me. Did you think it was funny?
Yeah, I laughed out loud multiple times within like 15 minutes.
So good.
And you know Meg listens on like 5X, so.
Well, I was listening on 2X, and I looked at Katie and I was like, can you understand this? And she's like, yeah, actually. I'm like, see, you can do it. You just got to build yourself up.
Yeah, I could.
2X is excessive, though. Let's be honest.
Oh, sometimes I go to 2.25 now.
You're an animal. You are an absolute animal.
Oh, I did.
Did we get a bingo?
Oh, go ahead. I did get a new book, which I haven't really gotten into, but it's it's called The T in LGBT Plus, and it's by Jamie Rains, who is a YouTuber who goes by Jammy Dodger on YouTube. And
I think I saw that in the store.
Yeah, and he and his partner did one of the videos right after in summer of 2020, after the author's gender manifesto came out. They did a rebuttal video that got a lot of play. So yeah, anyway, I ordered the book. I'm excited to read it.
Nice.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Oh. Who?
Katie owes me.
Oh, whew. If it was me, I was going to be mad.
All right.
Did we get a bingo? I don't think we did.
I don't think we got a bingo. Let's see if the house points changed at all. Phil, can you please stop biting my hands?
Dang.
Oh no. Ravenclaw is still in first. Hufflepuff is now in second.
Yeah.
Gryffindor.
I don't believe that.
Third. Slytherin. Fourth.
Philly, you dropped out of third.
It's close. It's only by 26 points though, second and third.
I hate it here.
It's a tight race. Right, Philly? It's a tight race.
Gross.
Well, what's this episode for? For Hedwig.
Yeah. Pour one out, guys.
Pour one out.
Sips soon for to be sadness. Moody. We're back.
Sip a Summit Cola.
Oh, I finished mine.
I guess you don't care about Hedwig.
Didn't it? It almost came out of my nose.
Wait, I want to take a sip because I need everyone to know I care. I took a sip of Katie's.
We are 12.
I need everyone to know I care.
I would not have it any other way, honestly. This one's for Hedwig, you guys. We love that small bird with big dreams. Rest in peace. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just in my voice!
Hedwig! Why? I feel like we need to sing bye, bye, little Hedwig. Do you think I'll be able to say the right
number?
Do
it. Hope so.
I hope so.
Fun times. Did it do it?
Sweet.
Swing, swing, swing. Okay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.